This is AVXL episode 19, recorded June 27th, 2016.
Testing 1, 2, 3. All right. I'm not blowing anything out.
Ignorant weasels chewing on your soul. Ignorant weasels. Do you have speed?
Yeah.
Welcome to AVXL, your guide to the best in home theater gear and content, no matter what your budget is. I'm Patrick Norton.
Hey, I'm Robert Aaron.
Oh, my goodness. There was epic late night streaming at my house last night.
Movie binging?
No. The final episode of season 6 of Game of Thrones.
Oh,
the second
cow.
Episode of Showtime's Roadies, which is Cameron Crowe actually directed the episode we watched last night. He's kind of the writing this. It's a drama, a comedy. It's a dramedy about roadies.
Dramedy.
And a band. man,
don't
I need
break
to go
my
finish.
Stuff.
No. A lot of drama in this episode.
Stop stealing t-shirts.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I need to.
Game of Thrones, end of the season. How many more seasons? Do they have any indication? Is it going to go forever?
Well, the series is now ahead of the books.
Okay.
And I will say, I think
that's a good place to be.
If you had dropped out of the series because they were dragging on, the books are long. My wife's reread the entire series a second time.
okay.
Well, they're probably good. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I never want to go through again.
Understood. That's how I felt about Breaking Bad.
Involving people being flensed and such.
Oh, I didn't even mind. It wasn't even that. It was more character development. I'm like, okay, I'm over this.
Yeah.
I'm ready to move on.
Well,
George, I want to see this character die. Let's get this on.
I am really happy George R.R. Martin wrote Game of Thrones.
Was it an enjoyable ride so far?
Clearly
it must have been.
Well, what was so interesting about season 6 is because they are now going where the novels have not gone, and the novels are very long in some cases for the amount of exposition that goes on. But season 6 was just like wham! It was high speed, low drag, and just a ton of stuff going on.
Sweet, sounds like entertaining content. I was gonna look up what's on the Pirate Bay to see what people are doing today, but I could only guess. I could only guess at really what's up there.
Have you seen Man in the High Castle, which is Amazon
that
Prime?
That is on my to-watch list currently. I did add it after you talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
that's Amazon Instant Video?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to finish watching that one.
I'm actually dragging an HDR TV home to get set up.
Oh, very cool.
Just so I can actually spend, when I have some free time in the evenings, I can actually look at some more content rather than being trapped in a lab all day.
But. And he waited for Daredevil. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, so much good stuff.
So you finished Doom.
Yeah, I didn't even realize I finished it because I was going back to find every stupid little hidden thing, which the game is really good at.
Flawless victory.
And it was fun. I just enjoyed it. That was terrible goodness. But I'm really still looking forward to some multiplayer action on that. I still came away impressed with the audio quality of that game, be it positional, mm-hmm. the music score, timed events, everything about it. It was a good time. I really did enjoy it.
So I'm looking over your shoulder right now.
Oh, yeah.
Not because I want to stop talking about Doom, but because I'm looking at the detail.
Marco Polo
in that
HDR.
Doorway. Yeah, it's funny. It's like,
via Netflix streaming.
I'm still not buying 4K resolution as a must have.
I'm not sure if this includes wide color gamut. It appears to be a good gamut of color, so to speak. But
it is pretty.
But that definitely is 4K content with high dynamic range. So,
well, it's amazing because
we're in poor room lighting sitting here at the moment with fluorescence overhead and the TV at its max HDR mode. We're looking at a JS8500 from last year. So not the top of the line, but if you bought in last year for HDR compatibility, this would be one of those TVs.
Now I want to see this side by side with a 1080p television without HDR.
Oh, totally. It might be more difficult to determine that in streaming, although I've seen it pretty clearly, depending on the title. Like, I found when they re-released Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon in 4K.
A lot there to work with.
There was a lot of fabric and stuff that suddenly just started jumping out of the picture. So, again, I don't think that was high dynamic range either. I think that was just, or wide color gamut. That was just simply a resolution boost.
Well, I don't know. It was always amazing. Sarah, my wife, was always kind of like not entirely sure if she was buying into this whole 1080p projector until the BBC remastering of Pride and Prejudice, the Colin Firth one, which is so amazing.
Oh, cool.
In 1080p on Blu-ray. And she just kept like having me pause it so she could look at like fabric and details in the background, because that is such a extraordinary improvement over the versions of it we saw.
And when I talk to people about the new TVs that come out too, I think resolution is something I rarely try to bring up, because that's not even the coolest part. It's really that brightness detail, the representation of really dark and really bright detail within the same scene, plus more natural color that's more representative of what we can see physically. And those two things just add up to a whole lot more than just simple pixels, pixel count, so to speak, of the video content.
The thing I really want to see is that.
And you're slightly off axis too, looking at the screen. I guarantee you, if you moved over a couple seats, you would. Or if I turned the screen toward us, it would become even more saturated and impressive looking.
Well, I'm only about 3 feet. Well, probably 4 or 5 feet off the center axis. But
it is a downside with the LCDs compared to the OLEDs, I will say. I don't care how nice that LCD is, how much you paid for it. If you sit off to the side just a little bit, OLED will always beat it.
And a curved LCD will not fix that.
No, not at all.
Well, it'll fix it for one side of the screen, in theory.
I've kind of just abandoned that whole issue. It's so, to me, after spending time with a curved screen, it's just the aesthetics.
Right.
I don't really notice a big difference in viewing angles or anything else. It's more or less, do you appreciate how that looks when it's off, maybe? Or because in a darkened room, or even just sitting in front of it, it doesn't take very long before you just simply forget that curve even exists. Your brain is just seeing more of a rectangle, really. Even if it's flat, there's still a distortion there. And we can get into the whole, you know, do you want to be equidistant from every portion of the screen when you're viewing it? Ideally, you know, that's a nice thing. And it's also kind of cool when you look at like an IMAX screen in projection systems, big theaters, they're curved for that reason as well, to help minimize artifacts related to distortion above everything else. But when it comes to pixel devices like LCDs, you're not dealing with projected images. So, and all they literally do when they make these is simply take a regular LCD, add a little pressure to the middle, heat it up.
Melt it, basically.
There's not a whole lot of magic to it. Although, I think it's aesthetically, I kind of dig the look, but performance-wise, I just wish I had the option either way, so it's a moot point.
Oh, my goodness.
When it comes down to it.
Orange is the New Black, Season 4. That also dropped.
Ooh!
The last few days.
Stuff I haven't seen, but speaking of your HDR noticing...
Oh, my goodness. We have an HDR 10 update from the crew at Vizio, who have been very vocal and busy on the Twitter.
And on the forums, and being kind of cool. I like this.
Yeah.
I like what we're about to say.
HDR. So Matthew McRae, who's the CTO and the head of marketing at Vizio, very clearly states on Twitter, quote, HDR 10 is coming for P-Series in test now, says me.
Awesome. Cool. You know, they keep saying it. They haven't really changed the story since the beginning. They have said, well, initially they gave like a specific estimate of 90 days, 3 months, whatever you say. So he's saying they have it in testing.
Good.
It is coming. And I am looking forward to seeing that. That will make that worth what you paid for it, because that was really something that was like on the box but not included. You're supposed to like mail in the coupon and get your update later or whatever, or your little prize. So it's good to see them still focused on this, and that it is, it sounds like it's coming. So
Yay.
I am really happy to hear that, and it's good to see the crew at Vizio being so quick on the responses.
Yeah,
that's nice. Just keeping people hanging never helps. It is good news for those P-Series owners, interestingly. There is still no word, though, if the M and the R series owners are going to receive this update as well eventually, given that the core compute power is about the same on at least the R series and the P series. You would think the R series will immediately get it or close to it. And then hopefully the M series owners are going to get an update down the road as well. But that's at least for the P series owners who bought that TV specifically for doing good HDR. It looks like Vizio is going to come through with this update. And that's awesome. And then the other good news for Vizio Canada, the M and the P series are coming that way as well, which sounds pretty cool. They just announced that the Canadian markets will be opened up to those two series TVs that come with that sweet 6-inch tablet remote. And good for them. And what else was I looking at? I am looking forward still to the HDR10 update that the HDTV test folks were comparing Dolby Vision versus HDR 10 right. content. And that's another item. I'm also looking down the road to see when that will happen as well. So, oh, excellent. Goodness. Oh, and speaking of corrections and amplifications, a couple things. we were talking about Sonos Play Bars last week. And just to clarify, they are not HDMI devices. You will be using typically optical output from a TV set to plug into the Play Bar to drive that system. And that'll be great for most folks.
Right.
Except lossless audio fans. Specifically, those formats require HDMI for the increased bandwidth. And those formats are also popular with Blu-ray movies that include audio formats like Dolby True HD and DTS HD Master Audio. And I would say that the Play Bar's focus really is on that streaming audio aspect of home theater enjoyment, plus providing a great TV listening experience. So if you are more focused, though, on disc playback with the highest quality sound possible, you're probably looking at Blu-ray and the lossless formats there, or some streaming service that's providing similar. And the only way to really experience that today is through using an AVR plus a set of speakers. That's going to give you the greatest flexibility, capability, and the absolute best in sound quality for the best formats out there today. However, the convenience and streaming and all the other features of Sonos hold up. I'm not going to say anything else about that. Good point, though. It is more optimized for just simply its simplicity. The right. app plus just plugging it into a TV with a simple cable, optical, done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I'm not hugely worried about the loss of Dolby True HD or DTS HD Master.
I do love it in 5.1 setups, though. When that kicks in on an AVR compared to regular Dolby, they seem to do a better job. And there's more information. You can perceive it. And it's literally like if you have the hardware and you just haven't enabled that feature, it's a free audio upgrade, literally, for. And that's really nice. Also mentioned the One More earphones last week. They are fully mobile ready with volume control and mic and all that good stuff. And you know what? It comes with a really cool little hard case, leather or leatherette, I'm not sure, but it's got a cool magnet in it. It just, you know, when you're not using them, makes it cool to store those suckers. Loving them. $100 for in-ear, man, for quality in-ear, triple driver.
Oh, my goodness.
Good.
They're actually really good. They're shockingly good for the money.
Digging it.
They are compared to,
I was going to put these up against your Nighthawks, but
you should. I'll give you that blank stare I reserve.
You know what? I picked up a pair of $25 computer headphones, and just for the headset microphone aspect of it.
I think I like the $15 Monoprice 8323s better, but the Monoprice 8323s don't have the USB adapter. And the microphone. So.
Well, USB adapting doesn't light up these cool orange LEDs on the sides of the earphones, which look kind of sporty. Anyway. Oh, that's too much.
Yeah. And if the other thing about the Sonos Play Bar, if you don't have an optical audio output.
Man, are there any TVs that don't?
Well, if you have a projector.
Oh, yeah, good point. You're not using it with that.
No.
But you probably have a separate audio device.
Well, then what's the point of, if you have an AVR, what's the point of installing the Play Bar?
Yeah, like I said, too, that seems really focused on the folks who want to expand their TV viewing experience or have the individual speakers for just simply simplified streaming to that specific speaker in, a room or rooms.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it.
Yeah, and my apologies. For some reason, I thought they did HDMI audio on that one, but it's all the optical audio output. Oh, my goodness. Weird couple really great titles this week. One new, one old, coming out June 28th this week. Kung Fu Panda 3.
Huh. You liked it?
I liked it. It's all about Chi. The boys love the Kung Fu Panda movies, which, of course, led to them, wanting to see Kung Fu Panda 2 and then, being shocked that we had Kung Fu Panda 1 and... watching a four-year-old engage with Kung Fu Panda the first time is pretty awesome.
Say hi to my friend Jesse at DreamWorks.
Hey, Jesse.
I know she works hard on these things.
They're pretty. They're really pretty movies. I love the style of the art in those.
Yeah, that's true, too. I do appreciate it. I think I've only seen the first one, so I definitely saw the first one.
Stanley Kubrick's classic, I'm going to call it a comedy, very dark comedy, Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, comes out on a Criterion edition this week.
Damn. I'm going to have to grab that.
Yeah.
It's something I've been meaning to watch, and if I can get something in a great presentation via Criterion.
Well, it's all about, it's a funny movie.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as, movies about, nuclear
and
Holocaust go, but the, but yeah, you got to watch it just so you can see Slim Pickens' final scene in that movie, which is just one of the most beautiful things ever put together on cinema. If you're a big fan of classic monster movies, the Ray Harryhausen special effects Titan disc just got released on Blu-ray. Visually stunning in the sense that, this has been cobbled together from a lot of standard definition video sources and movie trailers and stuff. This is not a classic restoration of anything here, but if you're kind of curious about how they did things before CG, he was an extraordinary human.
Sweet.
Human being, person, creator, artist. And then one that I saw a trailer for that I've been really curious to see, Rams.
I have no idea what that's about.
In a remote Icelandic farming valley, two brothers who haven't spoken in 40 years have to come together in order to save what's dearest to them, their sheep.
I take it this isn't a major studio production.
No, this is like Icelandic cinema.
Okay.
But, I like
this
movies.
This could go any which direction you want it to. So.
Well, I suspect it will be a lot less predictable than Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, which also comes out on Blu-ray
this year. Why haven't they spoken in 40 years? There's
I think we'll find out.
Yes.
There's a lot to work with there.
Pretty fun.
I don't know. Yeah, I love watching Tina Fey act. But Tina Fey is not in Ram. She's in Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, which came out this week. You have been getting busy with the HD Fury, the 4K HDMI HDCP super adapter.
Super splitter. It's everything, man. The 4K integral, they call it. God knows what I was calling it in the last episode. Integra? I don't know. Whatever. Anyway,
like
it's 4K integral. I am saying that right. And I bought it specifically for injecting HDR10 metadata into video streams so I can trigger that TV's HDR mode actually looking at it and how it performs. Typically, the only way to get that TV to kick into a mode like that is to feed it content from like a source device or something that is HDR enabled. There are separate source boxes, and I talked about this on the last episode, you can buy for thousands of dollars that support some of these functionalities. This 4K integral, on the other hand, just sits between a current device I already have and provides the controls for it via a Bluetooth app, which I really didn't realize when I bought this, that there would be an app with Bluetooth control powering the whole little box over USB power. Super simple. The video HDR10 injection of metadata seems to work like a charm. And the app is quite useful, providing complete control, like I said, over Bluetooth.
Nice.
Everything from HDCP settings, sound settings, EDIT information. I can deliver CEC commands. It's pretty freaking endless. But like I said, I bought it just to make an HDR TV just jump into that mode so I can look at specific things. So I'm digging it.
Cool.
Two HDMI inputs in and out. It also has stuff like digital audio extraction and a bunch of dip switches and stuff I can mess with, but I'm pretty happy, I gotta say. And the app was a pleasant surprise. And
I just laugh about any 21st century product with dip switches.
Yeah, these are at least chromed. They look kind of cool.
Stylish dip switches.
Stylish dip switches.
Let me do a quick Google search on dip switch to make sure it hasn't,
Deep switch. Urban
Dictionary.
This is more of
into something
that's
exotic
true.
And terrifying.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Has it turned hijacked?
Nope. No, we're good. Dip switches are manual electric switches that are
so that's
packaged
cool.
by group.
I'll be putting that to good use this week with a variety of HDR TVs. Also, I noticed that the 4K Roku TVs are appearing in stores. These are 4K TVs with 4K Roku built in.
So I didn't realize. I mean, we Roku based TVs from TCL, 4K TCL Roku based TVs. And Best Buy's house brand Insignia, which I would assume is going to be very familiar. Are these being made by TCL, or do we know yet?
Oh, you know what? Who actually does the panel for the TCL TV is a good question. I'll bet both of these panels probably come from very similar sources. The Insignia is Best Buy's house brand, like you mentioned.
Right.
I've actually been in their test lab at Best Buy headquarters, and they had some serious folks who really seemed to care. On the Insignia side, there's another house brand called Dynex, which seemed to be a little bit more on the value end of it. I don't even know if that's still around, but on the Insignia side of things, I always felt comfortable recommending their products. Generally good performance, good features at the right price. These are truly 43 to 65 inch screen sizes. $1,000 for that 65 inch TCL when it's on sale. Are these or HDR and wide color gamut ready? Probably not.
Probably not.
And in fact, I would just say no. But look at all those pixels. I mean, they're all there. Oh, 60 yeah. hertz refresh rate. It does have HDMI 2, HDCP 2.2. Doesn't say HDMI 2.0A for HDR specifically. I would not be buying either the Insignia or the Best Buy, Insignia or the TCL set if you're specifically looking to do, you know, the best high dynamic range, wide color gamut viewing experience in 4K. But for good value, for good resolution, whether or not you'll see the difference in the 4K Roku hardware streaming your content versus, say, a 1080p one you may already have, that's debatable. It's streaming content. There's always going to be some compromises. But at least you've got 4K hardware built into your 4K TV, which is kind of – it's not the case in everybody's camp at the moment. So I kind of dig that. So
I'm just kind of tripping. Like, there's an Insignia – so there's Insignia Roku TV starting at 24 inches.
Yeah.
24-inch 720p, 39-inch 1080p.
I'm not sure if any of the 4K Roku TVs go any smaller than 43. I didn't see that were doing that. And then they went up to 65, at least on the TCL side. So
there's not a lot of point to do 4K at 43 inches. Although it has the, it's even too big
feature.
It's too big for a desktop monitor, I think.
It might be perfect.
30 was a little big. I don't know.
Depends how far you sit and...
Yeah, that's true.
I just wish Windows would do scaling of resolutions better.
It's gotten somewhat better in Windows 10.
Anyway, some good 4K Roku action being integrated. Although, again, if you really want the best experience, just keep the box separate. Keep that 4K Roku streaming box. And then pair that with the TV of choice.
Yeah.
One nice thing, too, about the TCL version, at least it will come, one of the versions does come with the premium Roku remote that has the cool voice search and headphone jack, and it'd be very similar to having the 4K box.
I don't know if I'd go so far as to call the voice search on the Roku cool.
No.
But it is voice search, technically. Well,
I just like that headphone jack.
Yeah,
that
headphone jack.
The most important thing.
I think the headphone jack on the Roku remote is utterly, totally fantastic, because the room where the... television is in my house is right next to the room where the small creatures sleep, so that's pretty awesome. It's also good, I'm told, for people who like to watch in bed while their spouse is sleeping.
There you go.
I do not do. the TV would be too bright. But I bring that up because, you know, it's tough, I think, for Roku, because they're essentially competing with Apple and Google, who have
Android TV of
the voice search. Well, think about, like, you know, they're competing against, you know.
Whose voice search do I use the most? Google's.
Yeah, Google Now or Siri, right?
Crazy good.
There's something to be said for having bazillions of people, you know, training your voice recognition systems with their mobile devices. But it's an interesting thought about that one. I don't know. I will admit, the thing I use on the Apple TV, the voice search the most for, is for entering a password, which is quite possibly the worst way to enter a password ever.
Asterisk, pound sign, lowercase s, uppercase
At some point,
three.
The kids are going to realize what that means, and I'm going to have to, you know, change the password and stop saying it out loud. But, you know,
P-A-S-S-W.
It's nice for searching, too, now that I think about it. But I still, I only use it for searching and for the password, which, you know, all my hacker friends are just like, you did what? You're an idiot. Why do you have a password? You shouldn't be allowed passwords.
Jumping over to the Comcast or Xfinity X1 platform, with their voice remote, I found myself using that all the time for even basic channel changing.
Right.
Go to PBS, go to Fox Sports, go to baseball, show me baseball, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, my goodness.
Worked awesome. I really did appreciate it.
I have one of ELAC's subwoofers in for testing.
Nice.
Debut subwoofers. The ELAC Unify UB5, we are still waiting for them to ship. So they are apparently selling them as fast as they can make them. So,
nice.
Well, nice, but, you know, but let's see. They were out of stock. Usually ships within, even the floor standing ones are like 1 to 3 months out. Yeah. Amazon's totally sold out. Most places are totally sold out on them. So I'll see if I can get any information back from ELAC on that. The debuts are still available.
Debut.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, that's part of what's so interesting about that is it uses you can use your cell phone to configure and test the audio coming from the subwoofer. So I will report on that in the next week or two.
That's handy.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to play around with that. I mean, I've used, you know, I've got a couple of Shoe subwoofers, which are incredible. If you want all of the bass, they are amazing. Not inexpensive. Inexpensive for what they are.
No, but solid gear that's going to last you.
Yes.
Unless you abuse the crap out of it, in which case.
Oh, and they're running one of their sales off. Again. That's the trick with Shoe is figuring out when they're on sale.
There you go. Time your purchases.
Well, I mean, they've got, they're pretty amazing subwoofers for the money. I'm trying to think what else is going on. That's probably it.
No, I picked up Deadpool on Blu-ray. That's burning a hole in my pocket. I still have a couple other Blu-rays that I haven't even watched.
Did you pick it up on the 4K version?
Yes, actually, I got the UHD super jammy wham multi-disc whatever. I'm actually going to watch it first in Blu-ray.
Right.
And then I'm going to have to rewatch it in 4K. It's probably worth watching more than once.
I've watched it several times. So there's certain scenes you'll want to watch over and over again.
Base my life on this. This will be my new religion.
Hashtag drive by.
Deadpool. Anyway,
I expect a 2 a.m. phone call from you going, I just watched it for the third time. It's amazing.
God, I don't remember the last time I called somebody at 2 a.m.
Oh, my goodness. You know, if it doesn't, I don't know if we should use Deadpool for our first movie hangout, but maybe for our second movie hangout. You know.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
That or Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers.
It'd be like MS3 characters.
We can flip a coin. It could either be Starship Troopers or Tin Cup.
Either one. I'm just going to sink into a hole at that point. Can I bring a six-pack?
can I
mix,
two.
Can I mix a frothy cool drink while we do this? I will. I'm in such a warm room right now. We are.
What's interesting is so Red Fox. I was laughing because I recovered a missing password from my old desktop PC because for some reason I changed my password on this machine and forgot it.
Oh, you mean the device password,
the actual physical Windows password login to Windows. Well, it turns out there's a very inexpensive application you can purchase to change, basically zero out your password. You used to be able. I mean,
are you listening, kids?
You can do it with a command line, but it's much easier to do it with this $18 app. We'll talk about that on Tech Thing, but I was laughing because in the corner, as soon as I fired it up, you know, it's been like 6 months since I'd run this machine. You know, it's like there's an update for any DVD. And I'm like, WTH? Because, you know, any DVD is gone. Except, of course, you know, any DVD has been replaced by redfox.bz, which is essentially the any DVD crew, or I should say the Slysoft crew, Slysoft being the company that made any DVD, basically has mutated into, they got litigated out of existence, and the Slysoft any DVD team has, you know, sort of reformed itself as the Red Fox project. You know, there's a really wonderful forum posting where they talk about the transition, if this is news to you, forum.redfox.bz, no Fox, no job, no future, where they're basically, you know, out of the blue, they just got shut down. So you can still use the finest decrypting software available. So you can, for example, take the Blu-rays you own and put them on a server that you own. Please don't share them on the interwebs.
That's so much data. That's the other thing, too.
Yeah.
It's not practical to share that much, huge amounts of data. But, you know. It also is functional, too, for, say, you have an older PC display or something, or a display that's not compatible with copy protection to be able to play that content with, as well as looking at a copy-protected disk to look at, like, file folder structures and things like that. It works very well. It typically runs in the background, and it will boot it when boot upon or load upon boot up, just like a lot of apps will. Yeah. So I typically just end up turning it off unless I need it. But I should fire it up and make sure it's still updating. I do have that lifetime subscription. I don't know if they still offer that.
My understanding is that they, and I will, I'll talk about this. We can both talk about this next week, but I'm actually installing Red Fox, and hopefully my lifetime application will still work. They are running
mine did.
20% discount until Sunday, July 4th, 2016.
Sweet.
So
they run regular sales. So if you are looking to buy the software, you know, take your time. get a good deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's not inexpensive. You basically, you know, the lifetime is 109 euros. If you want for like 1 year, it's 59 euros. And you can try them for 21 days for free. So they give you options to experiment with that.
Excellent. So. I'm gearing up for a bunch of OLED calibrations this week.
More OLED calibrations.
The E6 is a very popular TV. That's all I can say. Wow. I mean.
Is that the fourth or fifth one you've calibrated?
I don't know. There's been a few. But this is, it's getting more and more fun. That's all I have to say. I just have more and more capabilities to throw at these things now. So.
Well, one of the things you've said is there are color issues on those compared to, say, the LCDs and the 9800. Better off-axis viewing,
yeah.
But more color issues.
Yeah. Specifically, if you measure the characteristic of the white backlight on an LG TV, it spikes oddly, in a sense. Red and green are a bit muddied. So effectively, you end up with a spike at blue.
Muddied, like I'll notice it, you know, watching Pride and Prejudice, or muddied, like you can detect it and it looks really weird when you're, you know, running it through the
camera. That is
the
just the source
system.
Of the backlight. So okay. Then it goes through a color filter. So, in a sense, ideally, you would have three primaries for all of these displays, a red, a blue, and a green light source, that are all very narrow in terms of their spectral characteristic. It's close to being laser-like in a single wavelength for the ideal color for red, blue, and green.
Right.
However, the way the OLED material is on the LG TVs, blue is well-defined, but when it comes to the red and green, you get more of one blob.
Got it.
And, you know, it's less efficient in terms of that light getting pushed through the color filter, unless they were better separated, like with green and red in particular. And as we move further into HDR content, and if you want to expand your color palette out to Rec 2020, that gigantic mass of beautiful saturated color, you actually have to get those critical points, that single wavelength of red, blue, and green that you're looking for. It'll never be a single wavelength unless we're dealing with some kind of laser TV or something.
Right.
But as tight as you can. And they have to be separated well enough to where you can really then drive very saturated primaries in order to get an expanded color palette really well. So for this year, you know, it's a non-issue, I'm going to say, for most folks.
Okay.
It's just an interesting aspect of the backlight system compared to what I'm seeing other companies do in terms of how you make a very robust white light that you can then split back into the red, blue, and green for the individual subpixels to mix up and match for the picture content you're looking at. So we'll see. It's gonna take some time, and it's gonna, you know, I find that the performance of the red primary is better on the LCDs with quantum dot technology in
right.
terms of accuracy and saturation, especially in the midpoints, like 20% saturation, 40, 60, 80. 100 is always going to get a little weird on any TV.
Right.
That's pushing the limits of everything.
It's essentially, you know, overexposed and blown out at that point to misapply photographic terms.
Or you're simply then at that point, no, the TV's really no longer controlling it. It's mm-hmm. at that point you're at the limit of backlight output versus the characteristics of that plastic and the color filter.
Right.
And you're gone in terms of adjustment at that point. But when you get back down into the regular range where most video content is, then you have all those fine color adjustments. And the results I'm seeing, I mean, when I measure these LG TVs, by the end of it, color accuracy is phenomenal. So I'm not saying that with, at least with HD video, I am seeing excellent accuracy. It was only with, you know, specifically, it seems like an odd characteristic for the backlight system. And I'll see if that has any further ramifications going down the future when it comes to, you know, maybe for the next generation, they'll have to go to an RGB colored OLED material in order to get better color coverage for a further expansion of the color palette. But that you know, that's forward looking.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm seeing is damn impressive, and the design I think is spot on. There is room for improvement. All of your broadcast OLED monitors that are used in professional production, mm-hmm. they're all RGB OLED. So that is eventually what it will all become. That's super premium at the moment. The only people I've seen make those particular panels are Samsung and Sony.
Right.
And I'm sure LG has demonstrated an RGB OLED as well. So, and I'm sure they are just waiting. And LG just announced this year they're planning on doubling capacity for the current OLED production
right.
system, so they can. Clearly, it's a popular panel, and I'll leave it at that. I'll quit ranting and raving about OLED, but that's the tough part.
You like it, but there's room for improvement,
without a doubt.
And I don't. I mean, I
think for the average viewer, though,
right.
that wide viewing angle, those ultimate
right.
dark black levels, it is.
That is a convincing
If you have
picture.
Four people spread across several chairs, it's going to be a better experience than, say, the LCD.
It's, you know, I like emissive displays. You know, plasmas, be it OLEDs, be it, you know, the EOLED or whatever you want to call it. We'll see coming up. Yeah, like I said, we're in a horribly lit room here. Pat's trying to watch Marco Polo and HDR.
Well, I'm trying to see some, you know, some color issues.
If I turn the
lights
down a little bit, you'll see the shifting.
That's true. Yeah, this is a pretty brightly lit room.
You know, it's subtle. You still see a picture. You just lose more and more color saturation, typically. And then I don't see as much shifting.
Until it's just gray. But you got to get way over for that. All these people are at home with us. You're like, I can't update my television now.
It's all good. It really is. And this is just going to be a phenomenal year for content and display systems. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm glad to see finally some 4K projectors with HDR support.
Now all I got to do is sell your car and my truck and we can split.
Well, I mean,
you can spend a week at your house and a week
at my
house.
$7,000 for Sony's entry level.
Oh,
product.
Okay. So, well, that's like a third of where they were 6 months ago,
or like a couple of years ago. And those projectors are still available for $20,000 or more. And you know, you get into high end projectors, they start at about $25,000 for a three chip DLP 4K projector. Hoofa! I mean, that's commercial grade stuff you're getting into, and there are many options in the six-figure category for those, and it's
But you're going to need a really, really well-wired. You're going to need a lot of
seven kilowatt lamps.
Yeah, you're going to have a really personal relationship with your electrician by the time that install is completed.
Oof.
But at that point, you've probably also just poured a massive
probably
concrete.
Light a wall on fire just by pointing it at them.
Hate it when that happens.
Tan the wall. Anyway. But there are some amazing expensive projectors out there. And there's going to be more laser projection options, too. I mean,
is that the future for projectors, the laser stuff?
Efficiency, reliability, to get rid of a lamp that can, you know, pop on you right before the big game. When you get 25, 30,000 hours out of one of these laser systems, most of them are using, I want to say, a blue laser shining into a yellow phosphor to create a robust white light. Mm-hmm. So yellow phosphors are a combination of red and green. So you're getting your mix of red, blue, green. Some of that blue laser light transmits through it. So then you get that mix, and that's how they're doing it. The ultra high-end laser projectors are individual red, blue, green laser modules. That's just a fantastic way to do it. You get absolute color purity, very well tunable. You can get that laser manufactured to a specific, you know, very narrow wavelength.
Do they split the laser so the light output from the laser covers like an entire, you know, LC? I mean,
The guts,
yeah.
Well, the module would have multiple lasers on it, and depending on the brightness of each individual primary, red, blue, and green, you would have to have probably a combination. They're probably not equal numbers of all three colors. I would imagine the green lasers are pretty damn bright, and they only need a few of those compared to, say, red or blue. So getting that to mix, and like I said, the startup shutdown times, that pop of a lamp module going on you, that all just goes away. So, and you get really good brightness out of it, and hopefully less heat with this method of generation as well. But you drive any electronics hard, especially when you're trying to dump a lot of light out of something. You're that's warmth. That's gonna warm up the room. But
if it's not summer where you are, it is summer here in the United States. And I had one of those moments where I didn't crack the door to the closet where the AVR and the router and the cable modem and the Sonos box and the Blu-ray player are, and I was like, oh, that's right. It gets up to like 90, 100 degrees in here.
Man, I had a game console, the TV, and my workstation running in a room when I had closed the door for a few minutes. And it was like, and the TV. Yeah, the TV was on. And I was just like, holy cow. My electronics haven't had the heater on in months. Anyway, I was, I'm looking forward to that. And I think with projection, it's how to get better quality light. And the lamps are really odd in the sense that some have too much green light in them, which is exactly what you don't want.
Right.
Some are not a good wide spectrum white light. And then you have the longevity issues. And between LED and laser, you get rid of the longevity problems. You can very finely tune then the response output for color. And then they're pulsable, which is the other cool thing, especially with DLP or pretty much any projector technology. The ability to pulse the light on and off to time it with the imaging system, the chip or whatever is being used.
Right.
if you can turn it off at the right moment, you can then improve contrast and other aspects of picture performance as well, and time it with that chip operating on and off in its state. So, lots of good stuff there.
Oh, my goodness.
And I am itching for that new PS4 to come out.
Oh, this is where it starts.
I want to see it. I want that Neo. I ain't buying any
more. You're
not
going to buy an Xbox One for the Blu-ray?
No, I heard there is no lossless audio output on it. And I would hope that's firmware upgradable. And that was an odd thing. And that does not give me hope. Sony wouldn't have done that. But
people don't pay attention to audio anyway.
That's true.
It's a fad.
You know, we talk about 5.1 setups a lot. You've mentioned it a couple of times, but gaming is awesome. I mean, man, yeah. if you by chance have a 5.1 setup and your console's connected and you never went back to flip everything over to surround sound,
right.
Every game has a 5.1 option or better. Directional audio in a game is the best.
I mean,
that's why you wear headphones generally.
Well, I was going
to
say, like,
stereo mimicking, but when you can have it. Pounding you.
Not after
you.
January, right after CES with my AUSIC 3D headphones. Kickstarter project ships.
Yeah,
and I will never have to listen to 5.1 from speakers again like that ever happened.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to that too, but I got to say, if you've never hooked up like your favorite PC game to your home theater, especially if you have a projector, just do that when you get a chance.
Totally.
It's pretty epic.
And if you've never gamed on a projector too, we talk about 4K projectors and premium 1080p projectors, but man, a good 720p projector that's $300-$400
right.
is going to give you a lot of enjoyment. And it's a portable TV that won't take up your regular TV. And they typically have things like built-in speakers and stuff.
Right.
And it is just a super convenient thing to point at a wall, get the game console hooked up to it or whatever, plug a Chromecast or your whatever. Or that Homeworks DVR, the single tuner $25-$30 over the air receiver. Plug that into your projector and, you know, watch some live TV or stream some sports or do whatever.
One last thought on gaming before we go. If you're building a home theater PC, you do not need a 3D card unless you plan to game on it, number one. And number two, if you're
true.
Buying a new 3D card, don't buy one this week.
Okay.
Because between the 1070 and the 1080 not shipping in volume.
Are you saving me
and
money?
The RX 470 and the RX 480 officially being released later this week. It's just a horrible time to buy a GPU.
Yeah. I mean, I know what I want, but there's too much demand. So yeah. I'm holding back. And I'm one of those people that I don't want that first batch of cards because they always find something. Yeah. Always. There's only been 10 driver updates from NVIDIA in the last. Yeah, they're just regular about it.
Yeah,
and
a lot
beta
of times
you're
doing them to
week
to,
of
to support
get those
game releases. Yeah, if you update your drivers.
I use that NVIDIA Experience app actually
yes.
for all that. It just tells me when a new beta thing's up, and it you know what, it optimizes individual game settings,
uh-huh.
and it has gotten better. I used to have to go in and manually tweak my settings down a notch or two because it was just pushing too much for my hardware. It's supposed to be able to detect your PC specs, your graphics card, and then make appropriate settings to each game to get you into good performance. And generally, it works pretty well. For me personally, like I said, I was knocking. They make a nice slider. It's like, give me a little bit more performance. The frame rate wasn't quite high enough for what I like. But the latest generation with the driver updates lately have really smoothed everything out.
And
I'm finding it fantastic. My older hardware is chugging along. I might not be running Ultra at the moment, but give me that 1080 and I will.
You don't need a lot to do 1080p.
Maybe Christmas.
Gaming.
That's my Christmas thing.
Oh,
so.
My goodness.
You still watching
Marco
Polo?
Was gunfire going on. But when I say gunfire, it wasn't like,
this
you know,
TV's about to be boxed up. So.
Well, there were guys with, you know, matches on long sticks touching the, you know, the basically, yeah.
They're burning the world. Or this war is about to go down.
Yeah.
Early firearms.
Yeah.
Even better.
But like, well, look, the firearm goes off and half the screen is an explosion of sparks. It's distracting. In any case, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to this episode of AV Excel. If you'd like to support us, and we'd appreciate it if you do, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/AVExcel. You make it possible for us to make the show, and we would appreciate any kind of monthly donation you can make because your funding makes it possible for us to make the show. I'll try to figure out a clever way of saying that.
No, totally. We try to provide benefits, too. I mean, a little something. Like, you get the shows earlier. you give me a chance basically to get all the show notes ready, to get up on the website, and to double-check everything before I release it to the wild. But you get to see that file a little sooner, and we'll be doing the Hangouts on a regular basis. Cool. Starting this month, finally. I'm looking forward to that. There's so many different topics we could start rolling through. I should show people how to rebox a TV before you drag it back to the store.
That could be an epic video.
It's a Rubik's Cube nowadays of... Or a,
we have to finish the subwoofer
or a Jenga project
and get that up on patreon.com/AVXL.
If you do plan to take that TV back, take a lot of pictures of the boxing as you take it apart. It'll help get all the pieces somewhat back. Anyway.
Oh my goodness. In any case, ladies and gentlemen, AVXL.com is the place to find all the information about what's going on with AVXL, all the new episodes, the RSS feeds, or search for us on iTunes and all the other places.
And the Twitter.
So wait,
at AVXL, at Patrick Norton, at Robert Heron. Woohoo.
And that's it, folks. We'll see you next week on AVXL.